For everybody to be silent now. Those of you who are at the dessert tables, shh. Everybody's at the back of the room. If you want to continue eating dessert, that's okay, but now you need to do it silently. Thank you. So, hello everybody. Thank you so much for being here. My name is Jeff Roth. I'm a member of the Shalom Center Board of Directors, and so I have the honor and privilege of starting the evening out. I got an email a few months ago, maybe 4 months ago, from another board member. I think everybody on the board got it. Ellen Lippman, whose idea this was. This was Ellen Lippman's idea. Who said, wouldn't it be nice if we did a 75th birthday party? Is there anybody who could help work on it? And having been a dear friend of Arthur's for a long time now, and because of what an important mentor he was for me, he's the person who really brought me in to the possibility of changing the world through Judaism, with Judaism. I was interested in working on world stuff, but it wasn't until I heard of Arthur's work that somebody said, you know, this guy Arthur Waskow is doing the Jewish stuff and change stuff. And I started reading his work, and that's why I'm here. That's really why. I mean, maybe why we're in the room, but that's why so many of us are actually actively involved in Jewish life. And so the ripple effects have been huge. So all the honor to you for that, Arthur. I'm just going to thank a few people quickly. When I took it on, it was partly because I didn't think Phyllis should have to do this, but Phyllis did a tremendous amount of work and organizing to help make this night happen, so thank you very much. Phyllis knows me well enough to know which things I won't get to on time, so. There was a committee that helped conceive the event and plan the event. I'm not going to mention them by name now because all of them are going to be up here at some point speaking. So, but thank you to the people on the committee who helped plan this event, and you'll see all of them and hear their names as they come up. I'd like to thank Dan Gottlieb, who's so kindly come to share and help Arthur tell the story tonight. Thank you. Special thanks to Mishkan Shalom for hosting this event. the catering, Cuisine Voila, Robin and Mark Heller. There were about a dozen people who volunteered, besides the committee, a dozen people volunteered to come here tonight. You saw them greeting you at the door, and so thanks to all of those volunteers as well. So I'd like to get the program rolling now by introducing Arlene, who is the chairperson of the Shalom Center Board of Directors.
Thank you, Jeff, and thank you so much to Jeff, who did the lion's share of the work to coordinate everyone, bring everyone together, and make this event happen. Now I want to ask you for that little bit of blessing that everyone asks you for now, which is please turn off your cell phones, because we are recording the event. And tell you something about what led to this moment. The Board of Directors had a meeting, a face-to-face meeting in April. We don't do that too often. And we all went around the circle and asked, why are we here? What is it that makes us want to be part of the Shalom Center, guiding the Shalom Center? And everybody had all their reasons about the issues that we believe in, the things we want to see happen in the world. But the one thing that each and every person said was how much they love Arthur and how much they respect Arthur and how much we're here to support Arthur. And I want to ask the members of the board who are present to stand now and be acknowledged by the community. When we first suggested this idea, Arthur didn't want to make a fuss about his birthday. Why should I be the center of attention? All of that. But he agreed to do it when we said it would not only be to love and honor him, but it would also be a way to raise resources to support the work of the Shalom Center. To free him in substantial part for the time-consuming and difficult task of raising money, which consumes an unbelievable amount of his time and the time of anyone in that position. When a person stands so often to speak truth to power, they naturally encounter opposition from people who feel their own courage called into question, from people who feel threatened by what they're advocating. We wanted this event to be an opportunity for Arthur to feel how many people love him, to receive that pure love, that outpouring, that often gets lost in an oppositional or adversarial situation. There are many, many ways to convey love, and you're going to experience a lot of them tonight in terms of blessings and songs and talks that people are offering. But as we do that tonight, don't forget about contributing resources to Arthur's work, to advance Arthur's work. I know that everyone here has given generously to be here tonight, and I want to ask you to think, as you experience this program, if you feel moved to give more, every contribution you make will be an hour, a day, a week that frees Arthur for doing the work that he cares so deeply about. All of you I know are so impressed with how much he's able to accomplish right now. I want you to think for a second of what he could do if he didn't have to spend all that time writing grant proposals. When I think about it, I think of that phrase of Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, radical amazement. Radical amazement to imagine what Arthur could accomplish with the resources that he truly deserves to have. Another way for you to help tonight, you may have noticed coming in that there are books and CDs from the wonderful artists who'll be performing, and some of that sale will help benefit the Shalom Center, and some for the artists themselves who have given so generously of their time. I also want to call your attention. I bet you haven't noticed all these lights and camera. So let's say we have a wonderful cinematographer and a sound person and an assistant here tonight. They are doing the very first filming in the first ever film that's going to be made about Arthur and his work. We're capturing this event. We're capturing the 40th anniversary Freedom Seder in the spring. And starting next summer, full-scale production will begin. So all of you are part of the first moment of saying, as Sean said to me earlier, are you saved? Of saving Arthur for posterity. Jeff mentioned that we'll have dessert throughout the program. Please help yourselves, but do so quietly. I've been appointed to offer a blessing on behalf of the board, so I want to say that our 75th birthday blessing is that he enjoy 120 full years of undiminished energy and passion, of awe-inspiring presence, of love and connection, of health and well-being in all realms, supported by an outpouring of generosity that surpasses even his own willingness to give, give, give in pursuit of justice and healing. Happy birthday, Arthur. Now it's my honor to introduce Miraj, which includes my fellow board member, Rabbi Margot Stein, Rabbi Gaylor Razel Raphael, and Juliet Spitzer.
Thank you. It's a joy to be here. Arthur, when we think about what we'd want to sing for you, the songs that we know that make us think about you are all songs of peace. So we thought we would open our program tonight with some songs of peace, beginning with a song called Harmony, which I think speaks for itself. I think Juliet probably just channeled it from the other world, and you let me know what you think too.
I've heard the cries of many, their messages so strong. All we've ever wanted has been the same thing all along. I've heard the prayers of many.
Song that we sang on the album for you, the Sing Shalom album that Arthur and I put together 2 years ago. And so we wanted to just bring that song because it never gets to be sung. And if it wasn't sung here, then when would it be sung? So I'm sure you'll join us.
I have a Bevirkat Shalom. protect us as we leave and return in life and in peace. Now and forever, spread your sheltering wings. Protect us as we leave and return in life and peace.
First of a number of people who get to have about 1 minute to say something nice about Arthur and then introduce the next speaker. Before I do that, I realized that there was one person who wasn't thanked, who's the hardworking member of the Shalom Center staff, Nick Alpert, who did a lot of work for this evening. So what I want to say about Arthur is Arthur and I both, in many ways, began our adult lives doing American history. And Arthur has never lost faith in America and reminds me oftentimes to love America and to love the best part of the values and ideals of this country in the most loving and open way. We know nobody who is more critical of this country than Arthur, and nobody who has confronted power more than Arthur. And at the same time, he loves this country very deeply. And he has always held that for me. And held that for me in the way he holds hope out for Judaism, for many of us, he also holds hope out for America. And to put them both together, for me, has been incredibly important for many years. So thank you, Arthur. And I would like to ask Rabbi Linda Holtzman to come up, who is the rabbi of Mishkan Shalom and leads this congregation in a way that's very in tune with the ideals that Arthur has taught us.
Hi. Bruchim Haba'im, Bruchot Haba'ot, welcome. It's really a pleasure to welcome all of you here because this is an extraordinary event. It's the kind of event that, you know, you celebrate once in a lifetime, right? So really, really wonderful. I don't know anyone else who could have this many people pay this much to come to their birthday party. It is really a gift. People often ask me, Arthur Waskow is a member of your congregation. That must be a little frightening. That must be a little intimidating. How could you possibly have Arthur Waskow be in your congregation? He's so important. He's so prominent. He does so much. Doesn't that make you nervous? Aren't you always afraid you'll say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing? We all know how extraordinary Arthur is. And if you look at Arthur's bio, what you learn is that in 1996, he was named by the United Nations a wisdom keeper among 40 religious and intellectual leaders who met in connection with the Habitat II conference in Istanbul. He is a wisdom keeper. That's intimidating. It is true. It is true. But I can speak, actually, on behalf of Rabbi Yael Levy, who is the other rabbi at Mishkan Shalom, and myself, and let you know that both of us are and feel always deeply, deeply blessed to have Arthur and Phyllis as members of our congregation. There is no question about it. He and they both so completely embody the values that this congregation is about that it's mind-boggling. Our statement of principles says that we are based on the perfect blending of Torah, Avodah, Gemilut Chasadim, and Tikkun Olam, of learning, of service, of doing good deeds, of changing the world. Can you imagine a congregation that states that it is based on those values, having among its membership somebody like Arthur, who lives those values and does more of the work towards changing the world in positive ways based on those values than just about anyone else in the entire world? It is just extraordinary. And those of you who are members of Mishkan Shalom and were just at our Yom Kippur services know that Arthur and Phyllis don't say no, or I'm too busy, or I have too much to do. They step forward and they make a difference, and they change an entire service, an entire day, and the experience of a whole community just by their being there. So there is one thing that I have learned from Arthur that is happening again that I would like to just remind people about. I don't know how many of you have ever thought about how important it is to celebrate the birthday of the sun. But I know that 28 years ago, I found myself on the top of the Empire State Building with a group of people who were somehow communicating with another group who were down in Washington, and we were celebrating the birthday of the sun and celebrating the connection of the sun and the earth and how powerful that was and how much that meant. Arthur has taught me more in my experience of him of those little things that I wouldn't have noticed, that I would have gone by, and that have completely enriched my life, and by extension, the life of everyone, certainly in the Mishkan Shalom community and in our entire community. So, Arthur, it is really a pleasure to be able to turn in the book Seasons of Our Joy, and to look at the very end of the book, where you say, I would like to end this book with a look back and forward. When the sun was blessed 28 years ago, there were far fewer Jews who knew about this festive day or took joy in doing it. The renewal of our tradition has been one of the great works of this past generation. It is still beginning, still gathering strength. May the renewal of Jewish peoplehood and Torah be so strong that in 2009, this was written 28 years ago, this whole book needs to be rewritten out of a mourning for what is gone in Jewish life and a more intense joy in what is growing, out of new ceremonies and studies that grow authentically from wrestling with the old ones. Thanks to Arthur, that is true. and God willing, will continue to be true for many, many years to come. Happy birthday.
So I asked Linda, I'm Phyllis Berman, and I'm part of... I'm not part of, I'm Arthur's kitchen cabinet. I wanted Linda's prop because this prop is why I'm here today. Many of you know the story, but and I'm not going to tell it in full detail. But some many years ago in the 1980s, at one of my great feminist seders, one of my guests who couldn't bring unkosher food into my house brought instead a gift, and this was it. And after Pesach was over and I had a little time to read, I opened the book, and there's this story, a Hasidic tale. A Hasid went on the road to be with his Rebbe, and somebody asked him, oh, Hasid, are you going to study Torah with your Rebbe? And the Hasid said, no, I'm going to study tying my shoelaces. Arthur then dedicated the book to the two men he said had taught him both Torah and tying his shoelaces. Those men are Rabbi Max Tichton and Rabbi Zalman Schachter Shalomi. What was astonishing about that is not that these are really amazing men, but what was astonishing is that these two men are the men whom I would have said were my spiritual fathers. And so I began to read the book with a kind of love that one reads something when you already know the writer, the author, the creator, the artist. And I read it with passion, and by the end of the first chapter, I sat down and wrote Arthur a love letter. And the rest is history. So, since we have been married 22 years, I have the great privilege of reading the words of someone who has known Arthur 72 years, and that's his brother, Howard. You'll find in the tribute book, on page 33, he writes, speaking for ourselves and for the lively ghosts of Cottage Avenue, where they grew up, we shout out, Mazel Tov, dear Atz. Pop sings the Volga Boatman. Grandma says, good work, mein Kind. Dad stands applauding. Honey beams, while Avraham nods approval. For them and us, we add, we are very proud of you, your long devoted march toward freedom, peace, and justice. Last night at about midnight, Howard sent these words. Atz has written, and to me he's Atz, not Ati or Art or Arthur, as he's also been at one time or another during these 75 years. Atz has written many times about the change in the middle of his life, about how in 1968, in response to the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. and the ensuing presence of federal troops and tanks in his Washington, D.C. neighborhood, he wrote the Freedom Seder, a truly radical document, that first Freedom Seder, which began his journey into this present life. Rather than speak more about that change, the turning that transformed the slim, angry, atheistic young man whom I knew into the plump rabbi, still quite capable of anger, but now also full of sweetness, who sits among you, I'd like to say a bit more about the continuity that joins our original family's life in Baltimore to the life that Atz has made. On Cottage Avenue, the row house in Northwest Baltimore, where we grew up, the only Jewish holidays we observed were Passover and Hanukkah. They were, after all, the political holidays. We were steeped in liberal politics, the politics of FDR and of the Americans for Democratic Action and the Baltimore Teachers Union, for both of which our father was president and our mother the secretary. The teachers' union newsletter was written by our father with critical input from our mother, typed on stencils by our mother, and run off on the mimeo machine that lived in the basement bathroom, then collated and stapled on the kitchen table by Atz and me. To question convention and to create alternatives, that was the family way. At Passover, our father read from a judiciously edited Haggadah, a small Haggadah with a green cover, with parts he'd excised and parts marked for us to read. The rest of us used those paperback Haggadot issued by Manischewitz, or was it Horowitz Margareten? The rest of us, except for Atz, that is, who spread before him a large and beautifully illustrated Haggadah, much grander than our father's, which had been given to him as a bar mitzvah gift. I've always wondered whether that grand book made Passover especially special for Atz, provoking him to write his own Haggadah for the Passover that followed, the one when Martin Luther King was killed. Another important Jewish element in our lives in Baltimore was the YMHA day camp, the summer camp both of us attended yearly, starting when Atz was 10 and I was 7. There, Atz began his first newsletter, which he called the Wise Owl. So before menorah and the new menorah and the wise prophetic voice of the Shalom Center, there was the Wise Owl, for which Atz wrote a weekly editorial. One of these editorials was written in the summer of 1946, the year after Hiroshima and Nagasaki. In it, Atz called for the elimination of atomic weaponry. He was not yet bar mitzvah age, and this was less than a year, remember, after the United States had won the Second World War, to much rejoicing. For as long as I've known him, Howard writes, Atz has spoken out and acted out for peace and justice. I honor him, he writes, and so do we. And now it's my pleasure to introduce a dear friend and teacher who has lived with us on and off for quite a number of years, Rabbi Shefa Gold.
So Arthur, when we met, I guess it was over 23 years ago, I was always obsessed with exploring the mystery of God, and for me, it was something that was fun. And when I met you, I felt like we connected at that level of how much fun theology was and how important it was as the foundation of our lives. So I want to sing you a song that I wrote back then, and Margot's going to help me. And for some reason, this song offended a lot of people, but not you. So I was happy about that. So.
No more Big Daddy, the monarchy is dead. I take responsibility for the devils in my head. My love is like a circle that spins to set me free. My heart belongs to the Lord who doesn't lord it over me. Sometimes we feel like children, sometimes we feel grown up. Sometimes we look for God below, and sometimes we look up. When we keep God in the sky, we put religion on the shelf. I pray with all humility to find God in myself. No more Big Daddy, the monarchy is dead. I take responsibility for the devils in my head. My love is like a circle that spins to set me free. My heart belongs to the Lord, who died and lorded it over me. Let's take a rightful place beside the throne of the divine. Rise up into the light and leave our greed and pride behind. Let's cross that mighty river into the promised land. Just open up your fist and find the truth inside your hand. No more Big Daddy. The monarchy is dead. I take responsibility for the devils in my head. My love is like a circle that spins to set me free. My heart belongs to the Lord, who does it lord it over me. My heart belongs to the Lord, who does it lord it.
I wanted to offer a blessing to you, and the blessing was actually given to me through Senator Barack Obama, our next president. And in his acceptance speech at the Democratic Convention, he quoted from Scripture. And he said, hold firmly without wavering to the hope that we confess. And then I added to the chant, so I decided that it was a chant, really. And then I added the words, tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, justice you shall pursue. And as I sang it, just to help me to feel that hopefulness inside me that he had given me, I thought, oh, wouldn't this be a great blessing for you. So I want to ask you all to join me in this blessing, and it goes like this. Hold firmly without wavering to the hope that we confess. Hold firmly without wavering to the hope that we confess. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, hold firmly, oh, with that wavering, to the hope that we confess. Hold firmly, oh, with that wavering, to the hope that we confess. To give this blessing to Arthur. You could stand too. Arthur, receive it. Maybe stand right up, right over here, and just take that in as your blessing. And if you want to do the movements with me, you can.
Hold firmly with that wavering to the hope that we confess. Hold firmly with that wavering to the hope.
Wavering to the hope that we confess.
Sadak, 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 Teardoll.
Hold firmly
So Arthur has also been responsible for immigration to America. Many years ago, I heard about Jews for Urban Justice and imagining that all American Jews were into Jews for Urban Justice. That's what brought me to this continent. So, and also I want to more seriously acknowledge that this space would not be here without Arthur's direction. Arthur's been a colleague and teacher and guide these many years after finding him and a few other Jews for Urban Justice in America, and many more, and Ken Yerbu. And this space really owes a lot to you, so thank you for being a teacher, a guide, a colleague. So in thinking about Arthur's birthday, I suggested that we try to hear from Arthur on this occasion of his 75th birthday some of the wisdom that he's gleaned over the years of being our teacher and our guide. And I also suggested that we invite another Zaidi, Dr. Dan Gottlieb, who's also been a teacher and guide to me. So as I introduce Dr. Gottlieb and introduce this segment of a conversation about what I think of as the verse from the Psalms, teach us to treasure our days so that we may bring forth a heart full of wisdom. These two men have both brought hearts of wisdom to lots of people. Dr. Gottlieb is the radio host of Voices in the Family, has been a columnist in the Inquirer until weekly writing a sermon in the Inquirer that was read avidly by many people here, and is also the author of two books that are available outside, the most recent of which is Learning from the Heart, Levav Chochmah, about the wisdom of the heart. And these books are available outside, and I also wanted to point out that all the proceeds from Dr. Gottlieb's books are being donated to children's charities. And so far, that has amounted to $83,000 to children's charities. So it's with great appreciation to two wise, courageous, truth-seeking, loving Zaydis that I invite you to this conversation between Dr. Gottlieb and Rabbi Arthur Waskow on your 75th birthday. So I think Dan is going to move.
So I want to begin our discussion with the words of my first teacher in psychotherapy, my first mentor. He told me the way to begin every psychotherapy session. He said, with a reflective question that starts with, "So new?" Don't laugh. That's how I start every session. I wouldn't know how to start.
So new. It's interesting that new and new are, you know, new. And this is feeling very new.
What is this like for you this evening?
Well, I'm actually feeling a little giddy, and I'm feeling like what people say, you know, your whole life flashes before your eyes just before you die. So at 75, I'm looking, right. What's the, you know, Kanainara, right, that's right. I'm looking, and it feels like my, not exactly whole, but very huge hunk of my life is not exactly flashing, but there before my eyes. That's what it feels like.
A lot of words have come up here. Your biography, your social activism, your wisdom. I mean, your social activism is a fact. Are you a wise man? I'm not asking them.
Yeah, I understand. Wiser than I used to be. I'm not sure wise yet. You know, whenever I do the bracha, the blessing, before we learn Torah together, I try to remember to remind everybody that Torah, the word, is from the language of archery. And it doesn't mean, you'd think it might mean the bullseye, right? I mean, Torah, the bullseye, after all. But that instead it means the aiming. So I guess I would say where I am is I'm aiming toward wisdom. That's the best I would know how.
Is there a there, Arthur?
Is there any there? No, I think I truly believe the journey is the there.
I was thinking about that just a few minutes, actually over the course of the evening. You know, I thought that my job was to interview you about your biography. So I've got 2 pages of questions to interview. And then I'm listening to the evening, and I thought, shit, everybody knows your biography. So what am I going to do now? And then Brian talks about a conversation, and I'm not prepared for that at all. I got my questions here, you know? And then I thought about wisdom. Wisdom never happens when you think you know what you're doing. Because when you think you know what you're just not open. Your heart's not open. Your mind's not open. So I got a shot at getting some wisdom here. Because I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Well, join the club.
I'm curious about when in your life you had a sense of not what it meant to be an author, but what it meant to have a life, to be alive. When did that happen?
I think it happened only after that great turn in my life in 1968-69.
Tell us about that.
Okay, so a lot of people have heard at least a piece of that story,
right?
What it meant to go through Dr. King's death, his murder, actually, and the uprising of the black community of Washington, as well as I don't know, 150 or 200 American cities. I was living in the Adams Morgan neighborhood of Washington, which at the time was semi-scruffy and the most progressive radical neighborhood of Washington, when there were a bunch of us who sued the FBI for its interference with our lives in COINTELPRO, and we got a whole hunk of the documents of the way they had interfered with our lives. But one of the milder things we found was that there were so many anti-war radicals on the 1800 block of Wyoming Avenue that they put one FBI guy at the top of the block and one at the bottom because it was much more efficient than trying to surveil all of us simultaneously. So that was the block that I walked home on a week after Dr. King was killed, and after I'd been working, there was a curfew in the city. There were more than 10,000 blacks jailed because of simply being on the streets, but the cops ignored whites. We didn't matter. So the curfew was just, we could ignore. And actually, we ran off on a mimeograph machine of our own. We ran off a permit to be on the streets during that time. And and I walked home to get ready a week after Dr. King was killed, to get ready to do the Passover Seder. And the army was right there. And there was a Jeep with a machine gun pointing on my block. And my kishkes, my guts, began to say, this is Pharaoh's army. And that transformed my life. And first it transformed the Seder that night. And then it transformed my life. And it was after that, I think, when